she brought me down here, and I instantly fell in love. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an automatic. And then once we've come down here, there was no
turning back.
There was no other option.
Downtown
really.
Phoenix is just, especially on Roosevelt Row, is such a sense of community. Mm-hmm. And our customers are so supportive and so loyal. And we just have the best community around us. And mm-hmm. it's developing so fast.
It just feels so, it just feels good. The people are awesome.
I believe two things can be true at the same time. Hi, my name's Jessica Brubaker. I am a therapist by day and a personal development junkie the rest of the hours. But really, I'm just a gal talking to people about life. I believe that we all have our own unique journey and that we don't have to fit ourselves into just one category. We all have an and. This podcast will feature interviews of people just like you who are living into their and, as well as the story that got them there. Within these stories, we will find tangible advice on how you can live into your and too. Welcome to Brutiful Journey, the podcast.
So there's this wine bar that I love in downtown Phoenix. And I was so excited about it that I accidentally tried to go before they had actually officially opened. This establishment is owned and operated by two former teachers who decided to take the leap into entrepreneurship, and I was so grateful to hear their story. Emily and Lindsay of Genuine Arizona were so much fun to talk to, and they didn't even bat an eye when I kind of fangirled them just a little bit. We talk about community and business and supporting each other, which is important now more than ever. We actually had this conversation before the COVID scare really began, and definitely before the social distancing movement and the limiting of bars and restaurants occurred. As of today, when I'm recording this intro, Saturday, March 21st, 2020, they are still operating for retail purchases, and you can pick up wine either by walking in or sending an email to genuineaz@gmail.com and picking it up. It's a super easy way to support a local business through all of this. And now, without further ado, I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed having this conversation with Emily Reeve and Lindsay Shineman from Genuine Arizona.
Welcome to another episode of Brutiful Journey of the Podcast. I'm super, super, super excited because I am sitting here enjoying mimosas with Emily Reeve and Lindsay Shineman of Genuine Arizona, and I'm so appreciative that you guys are here. I told you this before we hopped on, but you were the first humans to say yes to my podcast that didn't already know me. And I sort of reached out because I was like, oh, I love Genuine. It's one of my favorite wine bars, and probably my favorite wine bar in all of downtown, to be honest. And I was like, what's the worst that could happen? They say no. All right, no big deal. So I just shot you an email, and I was so excited when you said yes. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So this podcast is called Brutiful Journey, and my whole thought is that it's all about like the idea of and, that we all have more than one thing. We all fit into more than one category. And one of the reasons why I was attracted to the two of you in the first place is because I know that you were formerly teachers, and I'll let you speak to that. But I sort of envision like a 25-year-old listening to this podcast being like, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't have any idea who I want to be or where I want to go. And I just am trying to say like, that's okay. You don't have to. And whatever you choose, like, you can change it later if you want.
Definitely.
So. Yeah. So true.
Man, I never would have envisioned where we're at. No, never.
Well, why don't we transition into our first little official question, which is, can you tell me what your journey is? I like to say it like, what's the story of Emily? What's the story of Lindsay? Mm-hmm. And I don't care who goes first, if you want to like play off each other, talk about the same thing, because you were both teachers at the same place, right?
Yeah, okay. It's funny because we both had obviously separate lives, and then they just like intertwined together.
Now there's no
untwining. Once you get twined, there's no untwining. Yeah. So for me, Emily, I started teaching in Illinois. So I went to college in Illinois at the University of Illinois for education, started teaching out in the Chicago suburbs for 3 years. Then I moved to Phoenix, and that's when I started teaching in Gilbert and met Lindsay. So I was a 7th grade math teacher, and Lindsay...
I taught 7th grade science, so I'm also from the Midwest.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin, and my husband was actually deployed. There's a second deployment, and I was just, like, subbing and waiting, like, my life was on a standstill, just like, what are we going to do after you get home? And I just had this gut feeling like, let's move to Arizona. We had never been to Arizona in our lives, and... He was like, oh, okay. So
he's like, why not?
Yeah.
Arizona
yeah.
sounds good.
Which kind of is like my mantra on life. I just am really good at just like taking a big turn.
Yeah. Well, kind of, but I kind of just like in our business, like whatever we feel is yeah. right, like we kind of just go with that. So that makes sense
yeah.
that
yeah, we just
you
moved
just moved
on
here
on
a feeling. Yeah.
You know what, though? I think, I don't know if that. I think we ignore our intuition a
yeah,
lot because
yeah,
we're
so
like,
true.
Oh, let's just pay attention to what's logical or
yes.
what other people think is right. And
yeah.
really, in the end, we look back and go, man, I really wish I would have paid attention
yeah,
to my
yeah.
gut there.
And that was something we, like, when we were first starting, we were always like, this is one of those things, like, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, why didn't we start a wine bar?
yeah.
Like, we had said that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why didn't we? So we're like,
yeah.
we just are going to do it and see
yeah.
what happens.
How long
so,
did you guys know each other before you either... Both questions started talking
yeah.
about the wine bar and then also said like, okay, let's do it. Let's not
yeah.
sign our contracts.
So Lindsay started teaching in Gilbert in 2011.
Okay.
That's right.
And I started teaching in Gilbert in 2012 and we taught there together for 5 years. And after a couple years, probably after like 2 years, we realized that our brains worked way better together than they did apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 7th grade math and she was 7th grade science. So we're like, let's do this math science curriculum. Like,
yeah, they go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand. And we were just like, not to toot our own horn, but we were like so good at, like, I would take a math standard and Lindsay would take a science standard and they like seem to be completely opposite. Like, there's no way you can put them together. And we would come up with this
really,
really
cool
awesome,
lesson.
Like, hands-on, co-taught lesson. And I think by doing that, we really learned how to work together and how to bounce ideas off of each other and how to, like, just build our creativity into something amazing.
And it always just felt so natural.
Yeah.
Like, when we would co-teach, we would have 60 kids in a class. Was it, like,
yeah.
60 kids? And we would just, like, pick up each other's sentences. And it was just always so
it was a good
natural
flow.
To, like,
mm-hmm.
work together.
Yeah. It wasn't awkward or choppy or anything. And you know, we loved teaching. We loved creating is what we really loved about that. And so a couple years ago, my husband and I went to France. And while we were in France, we were going to tour a castle. And before you got to the castle, there was this wine tasting. And it was a self-serve wine tasting. And I was like, God, this is so cool. I don't know anything like this in Arizona that I can think of that has this. And so I came back to the classroom and I was like, all right, Lindsay, like, this is it. We're gonna quit teaching and we're gonna open up a wine bar.
And I laughed in your face.
Yeah. Lindsay was like, oh,
sure.
Okay, like,
right.
Like, we like to drink wine, but we're not gonna open up a wine bar. And we just kind of joked about it. Like, every time we would get frustrated with teaching, we'd be like, haha, we're gonna open up a wine bar, ha ha ha. And then, you know,
one day
we were like, you know what? No, we are going to open up a wine bar. Let's actually try to see where this goes. And we literally Googled how to write a business plan.
I love
and
that.
From that day,
with a bottle of wine.
With a bottle of wine.
I've done that exactly.
Backyard.
We're actually going to all be best friends right
yeah,
now. So
right? Yeah, we just sat there. And at that moment, there was no, like, stopping us. Like, we never hesitated. We never questioned it from there on. We're just like, this is happening.
Once we put our minds to something,
mm-hmm.
we just go. And I think, like, we attribute that to our teaching background. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're a teacher, like, you figure it out. You mm-hmm. problem solve. You're flexible. Like, if there's something in the way, you figure out a way around it. And
mm-hmm.
from the moment that we Googled how to write a business plan all the way till we opened our doors, it was 14 months of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It was problem solving, obstacle after obstacle, and every time we were like, okay, this is the biggest hurdle we're gonna have. Let's
yeah.
figure out how to get around it, and we're going to be fine. And then we would come to another hurdle. And we're like, okay, this is going to be the biggest hurdle we have. Like, let's find something around it. And we just did that over and over and over again until we opened our doors.
But I even feel like still now, that's our mindset. Like, there's no failing. Like, this is an issue. Let's come up with a solution.
Yeah, like, what can we do to solve it? Like, there's no...
Even just today, we were having that discussion. Like, how do we better improve this? Like, there's something that we're struggling with. We got to figure out a way to, like, change it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you're right. I think that totally comes from a teaching mindset. One of my first mentors said to me, the first thing you learn as a teacher is how to monitor and adjust.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, you're never going to survive the classroom. And I think that that's true of life, too, because it just, like... It throws stuff at us all the time, and you can either run away from it or you can try to catch it and figure out, you know, how to make it work. So I think that's really beautiful. And I think that that probably speaks to how successful you guys have been so far. Every time I've been in here, it's been quite busy. And so that's, I assume that that's good. I don't actually run a wine bar, so I assume when there's humans here, that's a positive thing.
That is a positive.
So I'm curious, just because I like to, you know, look at the whole picture. Did you guys quit teaching and then work for 14 months, or were you teaching while you were trying to do all of this?
So we Googled how to write a business plan. Then
that was in November.
Okay, so you still had at least the rest of the school year.
Exactly. So for the rest of the school year, we were, you know, like trying to figure out exactly what our path was going to be, narrowing down the details, finding the right things to do as far as like applying for a loan and things like that. But in May, at the end of the school year, we quit our teaching jobs. And looking back, like, we were a little bit crazy because we quit our teaching jobs. We didn't have a loan. We didn't have a location. We didn't have a liquor license. All we had was this beautiful business plan and an idea that we were going to open this wine bar. And so from May till September was probably the most, I don't know if it's the most stressful, but one of the most stressful times, because we had to figure all of that out and we didn't have we didn't have another job to go back on.
That's the point where we were a little crazy. And I definitely had, for the first time in my life, anxiety. Like, I've never had truly experienced anxiety. There were some days where I would drive to your house and we'd live half an hour apart and we'd just be like, there were tears.
Like, what are we gonna do? We just quit our jobs, we don't have anything figured out.
A liquor license is hard to get. I didn't get that.
But I think what just kept us going is that we were doing it together and we just, like, there was no failing. Like, there was never a point where we were like, okay, let's just give up and go. Like, no, like, we are doing this. Like, we dragged our husbands into this crazy mess of ours, like, we are gonna finish it till the end. So then everything kind of came together that September. We finalized our liquor license, we finalized our loan, we started construction on this place, and that's when the real stress began. Construction was fun. It was a hot mess, but it was good. And then we opened in January of that next year.
So 14 months.
14 months from Googling how to write a business plan to opening our doors was 14 months.
So is that 2017, January 2017 or 2018?
2018, okay. Yeah. So, just looking back on it, I would never recommend it to anybody else. Because I think that we were a little bit crazy, but it worked for us. And I think that it worked for us because of how we worked together.
Well, and I think that I know that when I was getting towards the end of my teaching career and, like, wanting to quit, I needed the pressure of, oh, I'm not going to get a paycheck in August, you know, because you get your last paycheck at the end of May and then it's nothing. You have to figure it out. Like, you've got to do it because there's not really another option. So I think sometimes that pressure is necessary.
That's true.
What made you guys choose downtown?
I remember you first mentioned it and you're like, I remember you saying you're not going to like this suggestion, because I was very used to Gilbert, and she brought me down here, and I instantly fell in love. Like, it was an automatic, and then once we had come down here, there was no
turning back.
There was no other option.
Downtown Phoenix is just, especially on Roosevelt Row, is such a sense of community, and our customers are so supportive and so loyal. And we just have the best community around us, and it's developing so fast.
It just feels so, the, it just feels good. The people are awesome.
And everything that's happened has been really organic and natural, and it's just been great for us. Like, we couldn't imagine having a location that's stuck in a strip mall or something like that, because it's not that kind of vibe. You have to, like, we have a lot of walking traffic, and people come to us from, you know, the East Valley or the West Valley because they hear about us, which is awesome. But I would say most of it is people who work downtown or live downtown or are downtown for an event and are, you know, walking by or in the area. So it's just,
they're right. Like, when they walk through the door, we know over half of the customers.
Yeah.
It's like Cheers.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And literally know what they did this weekend. Oh, how did this go?
Yeah.
It's just the best feeling.
Yeah. It's like, oh, how's your dog doing here?
Your dog or your kid.
Or your kid or your parent.
I don't know. Downtown, I feel like it maybe is more dogs than kids.
Yeah.
Just because of the vibe.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. We do know a lot of dogs.
I love.
We're like, oh, there's Dexter. Oh, there's then we just know all the dogs that walk by.
I love the sense of community, though, because I don't think we're meant to do this life alone, which I think is why it's so cool that you guys have, like, found each other and it we've created this, you know, besties in business. Because that, my guess is that the reason you were able to push through all of the stuff is because you were doing it together. If you had been by yourself, either one of you, and I don't even know you that well, it's a lot easier to just be like, I'm good. Like, yeah. I think that maybe I won't open a wine bar. Is that contract still good?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good teaching seventh grade again. It's fine. But when it's, you know, when you come together and have that community, I think that makes all the difference.
Yeah. I don't know how people open a business by themselves. I think that would be really hard. Like, Lindsay and I, we call each other our business soulmates. Mm-hmm. And, like, I couldn't open a business with anybody else, and I couldn't do it by myself. It's just, we work perfectly.
We just kind of pick up where someone else left off, or we push each other to the next level. It just couldn't be done. Things that I couldn't do, Emily does, and she does it so much better than
me. And vice versa. Like, I couldn't run this business without Lindsay, and a lot of people, when we got into business, kind of, like, warned us, like, oh, you guys are best friends now, but
be careful.
Be careful, because it changes you. And I could totally see that for anybody else. But once you find your business soulmate, we literally haven't had, I mean, knock on wood right now, but we haven't had, like, a argument about.
Our biggest argument is
stupid things,
like, you go home early, I'll stay.
Yeah,
and then I'll go in and cover the shift. You stay.
And I'm like, no, I will cover the shift. You covered the last shift. I got it. Like, that's our biggest arguments is who's going to cover a shift. Like, because we don't want the other person to cover.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we work so well together is we put the other person in front of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to, like, I think about Lindsay. I don't want her to have to cover something or her to do something. And
right.
Lindsay does the same for me. And that's kind of why we work really well together.
But I think that only works when the other person is also doing it for you.
Yes.
If the other person is like, sure, it's fine. Go ahead and cover.
Yes.
No big deal.
Yes.
I think that makes a big deal. It's sort of like, I know it's not exactly the same, but it's like a romantic relationship, right?
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, communicate and be there for each other and also, you know, take care of each other.
Yes.
I think
it
that's really important.
Much. And we also have to, like, prioritize friendship. There are times where, like, we just need to get away and not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we just need to be friends for a weekend.
We honestly compare it to another marriage.
Yeah,
because
for sure. Yeah.
We have to put communication first. We have to have little dates, coffee dates or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we have to just, it's like a marriage. It's like another marriage. But.
Well, and one of the cool things I think about owning a business is that for the most part, your time is your own. I know that there's always things that get in the way and your place is open when it's open and things like that. But when you're running a business, you can say, hey, it's a Wednesday, like, let's go have mimosas or let's go grab coffee or whatever. Whereas, you know, when you're teaching, you're like, okay, I have second hour prep and you have third hour prep. How are we going to do this kind of thing?
We dreamed of that when we were teachers.
When we were like, can you imagine being able to, like, go outside and, like,
get sunshine,
get coffee,
have lunch outside.
Yeah, have lunch. And now I feel like we have to bring ourselves back to that because sometimes we take it for granted that we can go for a walk and get coffee in the middle of the day.
Or have a beer while we're working.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, because your boss doesn't mind.
Yes.
So, like I said before, the premise of this is this idea of and, right? And I think we are all lots of different things. And we talked about this before I pushed record. What do you think, now that we've like gotten into it a little bit, what do you think are your big ands in your life for both of you? And I mean that together and separate.
Well, definitely together. I think it's we're best friends and business owners. And it's amazing to see our friendship grow out of becoming business owners. And you can be both.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday you came to work. You're like, gosh, I just love coming to work. And I mean, that's huge. And yeah. I responded with, yeah, because I get to work with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best part.
Yeah.
We get to come together. So, best friends and I mean, for you also, you're a mom.
So mom and...
You have two full-time jobs.
I have two full-time jobs.
Yes.
Mom and business owner. So just juggling all that.
What do you think are the biggest challenges of doing both? And I mean that both with mom and business owner and best friend and business owner.
Communication.
Okay.
Is key.
Finding time,
you know, in our day to do everything on our checklist and not letting it stress us out to the point that we let that affect our relationship. Mm-hmm. And we say this constantly. We always say friends first.
Hmm.
Like, we'll text each other and be like, hashtag friends first. Because, you know, if I have to stay home, like if my daughter is sick or something, or...
Babysitter
cancels or whatever it is, like, it's always hashtag friends first.
Like, it's fine.
We put our friendship before the business.
And not, like, it's hard. There's so much guilt in, like, mom guilt, work guilt. So
yeah.
It's important for us to, like, not put any additional guilt. Like, I don't want her to feel guilty that she has to leave work early to go home to her babysitter.
Because she already feels it.
Yes.
You don't have to give it to her.
I don't need to add any extra stress.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but I think that sometimes there's just like general woman guilt,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially in the business space where it's not, I think it's becoming more and more common for women business owners, but it definitely doesn't always feel that way. It sort of feels like a boys' club in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a lot of ways.
And so there's that woman like, oh, am I supposed to be here? Is this what, like... Do I belong here kind of thing? So I think that comes up a lot too.
It's true, yeah. It's really amazing downtown Phoenix how many women mm-hmm. business are.
There's so many women.
We started
businesses.
This like Women of Roosevelt, all mm-hmm. these women owned businesses get together, and it is so empowering and amazing to see all of these women down here that are just killing it.
Yeah. I think it's getting bigger and bigger and more common for women to be stepping into these roles. And it's such a cool time in the world with regards to that, not with regards to lots of other things.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch that and to just also to be a part of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
And just piggybacking off of that, I have to give a shout out to our husbands because they were supportive from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to just be really... supportive of us, and they never have thought that we couldn't do this or question, you know, what
they
we're
never
doing.
Said it out loud.
They never said it out loud.
They maybe talked to each other about it.
They're like, what's going on? What are we doing?
And
they've been just really supportive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do they spend a lot of time here like helping with the business, or do they like have, you don't have to tell me their you know, their whole life, but do they have their own jobs and things
both.
Like that?
So
okay.
They each will have their own jobs. Lindsay's husband, he's like so crafty. So every table that you see at Genuine, he built. Himself.
Including the one we're sitting at?
Yeah. Including the one we're sitting
I'm so impressed.
Yes.
He's a handyman.
He's a handyman.
I love that.
Including like the wine rack, this whole wine rack.
Shut the front door.
Yes.
Our patio
he built.
He's crazy.
He's an insane person. And so
the best way possible.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So we have he's our handyman that we have a long list of things for him to do. So he has a full-time job and then he comes here and does stuff for us.
And he gets paid in beer.
Yes, he gets paid in beer. And then my husband.
It's the best payment.
Yeah. My husband also has a full-time job and he is lucky enough that he works just a couple blocks away. So he's here at the bar all the time and
mm-hmm.
does a lot of networking things for the business as well. So it's just, we just always say that we're the Fab Four, and we all balance each other out, whether it's like building things for the business or networking, setting up events.
Everyone brought something.
Everyone
to
brings
this.
Something to the table, and it's amazing. I don't even know how
really
so
cool.
Well.
So do you guys ever talk about a world where they are able to quit their jobs and it's just like totally family run, or is
no.
that?
No, we've never talked about
no.
that. And I think
they both love their jobs so much, and
yeah.
they're so good in their careers.
And I think that, like, genuine, like, we couldn't have gotten here without the support of our husbands.
And?
Genuine is Lindsay and I.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
it's
like,
ours.
It's ours. We own it 50-50, and it's just, yeah. So our husbands, they have their own thing, and they support us 100%, but...
And I mean...
I don't
like
think they
I
would
said,
want...
I don't want to work with
anyone. Including your husband.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, when we say that, we mean our husbands. I couldn't run a business with... I mean, in the best way possible. Like, I don't know. I just can't even imagine.
Yeah. And they love their other jobs too much, and we... It's just never. That's... it's a good question, because honestly, it's probably never even crossed our minds,
mm-hmm.
and it's never crossed their minds.
Mm-hmm.
They've never, you know, expressed interest in wanting
mm-hmm.
to quit their jobs and come be a part of the business, because it's just
yeah.
it's our baby that we've
yeah.
grown from the bottom.
Right.
They have their own thing, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a little bit of like the therapist brain that I've got. I think that the healthiest of people can have lots of ands in their relationships as well. So you two can be your own separate person and have this separate entity that's your friendship, and this separate entity that's your business partnership, and the separate entity that's your husband's. And it's okay to keep all of those things separate.
The healthiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think so too.
To have all those separate things. I think, I mean, my husband and I are actually high school sweethearts. And
how many years have you been married, Liz?
We've been married almost 13 years this year.
Oh my goodness. That's
well,
that's a long time.
It's a long time. We've been together 19 years. So I think it is so important in a marriage to have your own
identity.
Yeah, to have
well,
your own things.
What do you talk to them about if you work
yeah.
with them all day? You come home and say, let me tell you about this thing that happened.
Yeah.
They're like, I know I was there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Your own passions, your own things that
yeah.
fill you up. Like, I don't
yeah.
expect
not to say,
things.
Couples who work together, that probably takes a whole nother level
mm-hmm.
of communication.
Yeah. Absolutely.
To be able to separate that. But yeah, it just feels good to have our own separate things. And just like shout out to stay-at-home moms.
Yeah.
I don't think that I can stay at. I love my daughter. Love
yeah.
her. I think I would go crazy if I stayed at home with her all day.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, that it's stay-at-home mom is like literally the hardest job. So I'm lucky that I get to come
mm-hmm.
to work and hang
yeah.
out with my best friend and be creative all day. And
mm-hmm.
My husband supports that. So.
You know, that's the thing that I hope that all women know, though, is that whichever one fits for you is
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think I could ever be a stay-at-home mom, but I'm so grateful for the people that can, because
mm-hmm.
I hope that fills them up.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the key. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you, whatever makes you happy and brings you joy, like, run with it and
yeah.
just fill your life with more of that, because
yeah.
that's, life is too short to find those joyful.
I agree. I agree. And I think choosing to do that is really what self-care is all about. And that's my next little, like, what do you guys do to take care of yourselves? But I think that when you put yourself as important and say, like, it's okay for me to do this thing because this is what I love and this is what brings me joy and this is what fills my cup, I think that's overarching self-care. And I think self-care gets talked a lot about in our world as, like, oh, yeah, I get pedicures. Like, that's my thing. Self-care is more than a pedicure. Not that I don't love a good pedicure,
yeah.
but it's more than a pedicure. But what do you two do either together and or separate that really, like, nurtures your relationship with yourself?
Well, Lindsay, me, every morning I have to start. I do daily devotionals and journaling and just Lindsay time and putting my, like, day into perspective and setting my course for the day and focusing on being positive. And then if I can go for a run, great. That's my favorite way to start my day. I think together we really love just going for walks around downtown. And sometimes we feel guilty doing that, but we also, that's when we just get to be creative and talk and brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think together that's what we like to do is go get coffee. coffee or something and just... Yeah.
I think for me, self-care is it's hard because I feel like I have two full-time jobs.
Yes.
I wake up and immediately I start taking care mm-hmm. of my daughter mm-hmm. and then I come to work and I work. So self-care for me is just making sure that when I do have time, like when she's taking a nap, I have an hour where I literally just veg on the couch and don't do anything, and that to me is just like relaxing. And I need to have like a time a little bit by myself.
Bath time. You love to
take a bath. Mm. Yeah, take a bath and read a book.
Glass of wine.
Glass of wine.
I love that I know you're.
Yes. Lindsay knows my bath routine. Yeah, like yesterday I put my daughter down for a nap and I went and I took a bath and I like read a book, and that's just taking, even if it's a little bit of time every day, just mm-hmm. by yourself. And it's hard because like I wake up and I'm a full-time mom and I come to work and I feel the guilt of having to like clean the house and do the laundry and do mm-hmm. that, and I have to kind of just tell myself, okay, I can't do everything.
No.
I feel like Wonder Woman because I feel like I'm doing everything, but I can't, like if I have an hour, I need to just take it and just not do mm-hmm. anything mm-hmm. Because I will explode. I will just yeah. like
deconstruct.
It's not good. Yeah.
It's important.
No, I that self-care is my thing, and obviously I'm a therapist, so I talk to people about it all the time, but I think that it, perhaps especially when you have children, and I don't have children, so I can't speak to that, but you have to make sure that you are taking that time to connect with yourself. Otherwise, you will explode, and what ends up happening is that you end up feeling resentful of the people in your life for taking all of your time and energy, but really, yeah. like, you didn't give it to yourself. You gave yeah. it all away, so.
And another thing that I think I've learned a lot having a child is to like ask for it. Like mm-hmm. if I need my husband to do something, I need to ask for it. Because people can't read people's minds. Mm-hmm. So if
as much as we think they can.
Yeah, as much as we think they can. So, you know, if I need 20 minutes to get ready by myself, I need to voice my needs.
Yeah.
And that's just something that I think everyone can benefit from mm-hmm. and just voicing, like yeah. even in the business, like yeah. if we need, Lindsay and I are really good at communicating, mm-hmm. so.
And I think we just know each other so well that I can tell when you are overwhelmed, and you can tell when I'm overwhelmed, and we know not to like push that.
Yeah.
They need a breather.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask her to do all these things because yeah, I know that she already has a bunch on her plate.
But it is important. Self-care, like, you have to fill your own cup up before you mm-hmm. can pour into others.
Absolutely.
And here,
I feel like we fill our cup when we're together.
It's
like,
true.
Lindsay and I are stronger together.
And we always, like, if we go a week without seeing each other, we just don't feel ourselves.
Even mm-hmm. the weekend. I'm yeah. like, God, I feel like I haven't seen you in yeah. forever.
Like, it's been a day and a half.
I mean, every morning we text each other good morning.
Yes, every morning.
You are in a relationship.
Yes. Well, it's funny because people who see us either think, A, we're sisters. A lot of people think mm-hmm. we're sisters. Or, B, they think that we're, like, an actual couple. Mm-hmm. We've gotten
okay.
that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we just...
And, I mean...
I get it.
We kind of act like we don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I can see
we
how people can
enough
see
time
that.
Together.
But you are in a functional relationship
yeah,
with each other. That makes total sense to me. So I have concocted this like list of random questions because I'm just a curious kind of person, and I think this is a pretty common thing to do on podcasts, so I might be like stealing somebody's idea, but I think sometimes this stuff gives you insight into your personality, and I also think it's fun to hear what other people do for themselves so that I can be like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. I think I want to try that. So are you good if I ask you my random questions?
Oh, sure.
And I don't have strong feelings about who answers first. But how do you wake up in the morning? Do you like jump right out of bed? Do you snooze your alarm 12 times? Do you like, is your coffee brewing before you're awake? What's your morning routine?
I wake up the same, I think, in this. Because it drives us nuts that our husbands are opposite.
Yes. So I think Lindsay and I, well, I'll speak for both of us. We're morning people.
Okay.
So like when I get up, I like to get up. I like, and I wake up to a 1-year-old, so it's a little bit different. But,
true.
We both get up and I feel like we're the most productive in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our husbands like to take their time getting up, yes. like just kind of like wake up a little bit more.
My first thing is I go straight to the coffee pot and get that brewing. That's the first thing I have to do. I like to try to drink a little bit of water before I have my coffee.
You use water to make coffee, though, so it's
yes,
fine.
Yes, that's so true. I like that. Wow.
That changed my mind.
Yeah, really? I like that. My favorite is I like to go for walks to Starbucks, so it is also coffee-related, but I have a Starbucks like a half a mile from my house, so we go to walks, and if my husband is able to, he comes with us, and we do a family walk to Starbucks multiple times a week.
I love that.
Coffee.
I just can't even, I don't know how people don't do coffee.
Well, the last 2 days, I was like, oh, I'm not going to, like, do coffee because I don't want to spend money at Starbucks and whatever tea is better for me. And I didn't, and I just had the biggest headache. And it probably tells me that I should cut back on my coffee consumption, but.
That's funny. We're going to be best friends because I am also a coffee kind of gal. I love those memes or those whatever things that are like, look out, coffee, this is a job for wine. And that's totally how I feel. Is it morning or is it evening?
Yeah.
What is my beverage?
True.
Water can be for in the middle of the day, but like, let's bookend it.
I feel like we start wine at right in the afternoon.
Yes.
Because we have to.
We have to.
You have to taste.
We have a lot of wine appointments. And
so it's before noon is coffee.
Afternoon is wine.
Okay, fair.
Sad, but
fair. That's okay. Do you see yourself as a planner or do you operate out of spontaneity? And sometimes people say, well, kind of both. Here's this situation.
I'm a planner to a fault. I plan.
She plans her plan.
Yeah.
Lindsay's the kind of person that will make a list. And if she writes something with the wrong color pen, she will rewrite the list.
Yeah, that is true.
It's true.
I sometimes put make a list for the weekend on
yes.
my weekly list.
I love to write simple things like, today I'm going to shower.
just so I can cross it off. Yeah.
I have something to show you when we stop recording.
Yeah. And I'm definitely rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
This is the first planner I've ever seen you.
No, I had one last year.
Did you have a planner?
Yeah.
Oh, it was your social media. It was pretty much just for social media. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a couple lists, but I've always been a list person.
Okay.
Always. But I think that being in business with an OCD list person has helped me up my list game. So.
I support that.
Yeah.
I think we all need more lists.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
So this is a. I know that. I don't. Oh, well. Yeah, I think I have to know the answer to this. What's your most consumed beverage?
Wine.
I know. It probably is wine if I were to make, like, a pie chart.
See what I mean? Oh, my God.
But
I drink a lot. I drink a lot of, well, and after I put my daughter to bed and my husband comes home from work, like, we like to sit on the couch with a glass of wine and watch a TV show, and that's just kind of how we unwind and connect for the day, so we always have wine.
My husband is, due to his job, gone a lot of the nights of the week, so sometimes I have a glass of wine by myself, but it's more enjoyable when you have your husband.
Yeah.
True.
So I don't have, but wine, I'm sure, sadly, is definitely Trump.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference between red and white, or does it depend on the situation?
I always drink red.
Me too.
Always. I know.
I remember when we first started, I drank white.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you kind of judged me.
I kind of judged you a little bit.
I think most people start with white, and then they evolve into red.
Yeah.
But I will say, we both are consuming a little bit more rosé.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's because of that Spade and Sparrows.
Yeah, Spade and Sparrows. Caitlin Bristow, her wine, Spade and Sparrows, the rosé, is on point.
Wow.
So when we went to her
live podcast,
we drank a bottle of the rosé, and it's
I'm a big fan of rosé. There's a couple of local places in Arizona, like Aridus does a really nice rosé.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Merkin's rosé.
Oh, yeah.
I love Rune. I drank Rune here.
Oh, yeah.
I drank Rune here. It's so good.
Oh, man.
I think I came here for a rosé tasting.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Right. Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah. In Sonoyta. Oh, we'd love to go down there in May and drink rosé. So
that's our rosé has definitely
stepped up.
It's definitely, it depends on the day. You know, if it's a sunny day and I'm on the patio, I will drink rosé all day.
Yeah.
But at night when I'm on the couch.
Actually, though, our true love is bubbles, I think.
Oh,
that's true. Bubbles.
Why do you guys keep wanting to be my friend here?
That is our... But we will drink bubbles all day.
Well, rosé
bubbles.
Sparkling rosé is like, it's my heart.
That's what's in our mimosa. Sparkling rosé mimosa.
I knew that I liked you guys so much.
That's actually our weakness.
Oh, my goodness. There's something about bubbles that just, it makes it feel like
fancy.
Exciting and fancy.
Yeah.
And like every day is a celebration.
Yeah, it's just so, it's so good.
That's...
We've actually been talking about doing like a bubbles flight.
Yes.
And doing like a flight.
Take all of my money.
Yes, right?
Please.
Love it.
Please. If you could go back in time and tell one thing to your 16-year-old self, what would you like to tell them?
I would tell her, like, you don't even know what's coming. Like, at 16, you have no clue. Like, you think you have an idea of how your life is going to go. But at 16, I hadn't met my husband. I hadn't met my best friend, a business partner. I had no clue I was going to be even a teacher, let alone quit teaching to be an entrepreneur. Like, you just don't know where your life is going to go. And
don't restrict yourself to stay on the path that you envision.
Yeah.
Like,
you can change.
Free.
Yeah. You can change.
Be open-minded. Go with the flow. Don't.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
Take those leaps of faith. My mom always told me, you can be whoever you want to be, and I just never thought that I could be something, like, I just never...
That's funny. That was your mom.
My mom,
mom was, follow your heart, and to this day, that's how I'm here, is, like, just going with the flow.
Yeah, my mom was like, you can be anything you want to be. So I never even envisioned this, though, and, you know, like, you think, oh, my mom says that because...
Yeah.
Because she's my mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and obviously she likes me.
Yeah. Like she
made me.
Awesome, whatever. But like you never actually think that you're going to do something this big, this fulfilling maybe. But it's been awesome. I love it.
So if you could get into that same time machine and go forward into the future, and this is a little bit of a weird question, I think, but what would you like to say to yourself 10 years from now? And I will amend it if that doesn't fit for you, what do you hope your 10 years from now self is saying?
I like it. Honestly, I would say, like, you have no clue where your life is going to go because we don't know, we have no clue how big, like, this could be or where our path is going to take us. Like,
and also, like, keep investing time into the people that mean the most to you because it's, friendships take time and effort, and if you're putting it into too many, it can suck the life out of you. So just stay focused on the people who give you fulfillment and give you that joy, and just stay. And it's hard, but do it.
Yeah.
I love that because I think that so much of this life that we live is about our energy and, like, one of the things that I think I have learned in adulthood is that I'm only going to give my energy to the people that I don't know that I want to say deserve it because I think all humans deserve energy, but I'm only going to give my energy to the people that I choose to give my energy to.
And kind of give it to you back and not suck it out of you.
Yeah.
Is weird.
I like to live by the, and I didn't make this up, my mentor said this to me a long, long time ago. I like to live by the 80-20 rule. So if like 100% of my energy, this is me personally, I'm going to give 80% of it to myself and 20% of it is to the other humans in my life. And as long as I'm in a healthy and balanced relationship, they're only giving me that 20% that I need because 80% is coming from myself and they're taking care of themselves as well. And so we're all like healthy and balanced in love and life.
Gosh, can you imagine?
It's not always a perfect system. It's not always a perfect system.
When life feels good, that is so true.
Yes.
Like it is true.
And I think that there are times where some people need more energy than other times, and there are some times where you need your friends to fill you up a little bit more and, you know, all of those things. But I think that that's the goal is 80-20. That's how I look at it in my pie chart.
That is true. Just pumping that energy into your friends.
Yes.
Hard and do it.
Yes. How do you go to bed at night? I asked you how you wake up. What does your nighttime routine look like?
Glass of wine on the couch with my husband and watching our TV shows. We have like shows that we watch, yeah, that we enjoy together. So yeah, just quality time with my husband. But we're kind of opposite because I like to go upstairs and go to bed, and my husband likes to fall asleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit different.
I don't really have a solid nighttime routine because, like I said, my husband's gone some nights of the week. So it's like sometimes I'm a single woman at home and get to do what I want.
Walk around with no pants on.
It's the best. But, and then so it's weird switching back and forth, but I just like to read. Sometimes we'll watch a TV show. I just don't really have a very set nighttime routine.
That's okay.
But I do like to read before bed.
Okay. What is next for Genuine?
Gosh, so many things. I feel like we are continuing to adapt and adjust.
And we're just getting our groove. We're just getting it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. This year is going to be good. I'm excited to see what happens.
But
I think we're just excited to also share more about us. We've started an Instagram, Besties in Business. And
yes, I follow it.
Yes. We just want to, like, if we can do this,
yeah,
we want to share what we've learned on our journey.
And we want to inspire other women to do what they love to do. And it might be a big risk, but if you want to do something, then go for it. Like, just
try
do it.
Just the worst that can happen is, like, you default back to what you're used to.
Yeah.
That was what everyone had said when I was going to move to Arizona. Like, I've never been here. Worst that can happen, you come back to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So we're hoping to kind of just build that more and tell more people about our journey and
inspire
people. And
beautiful. And how do we find you? Social, location, email, website, whatever you want to share.
Genuine Arizona is located on Roosevelt and First Avenue, downtown Phoenix. And then our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Genuine Arizona. Genuine underscore Arizona is Instagram, and then Genuine Arizona.
And if you want to follow our journey,
yes, Besties in Business.
We have our Instagram, which we're just starting up, and I'm really excited about that, just to share more behind the scenes and what it's like to own a business and be best friends and to balance that. So I'm really excited about that.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you too so much for sitting down with me today. I really, really appreciate it. It was really fun. I'm gonna come be your best friend too. No, because I do. I don't come here like all of the time because I don't live downtown. But I almost every time I'm downtown, I'm like, we have to stop in Genuine and get a glass of wine because I want the machine from the wall, and I can taste lots of things, and it's so lovely. And so this is one of my favorite places to be downtown, and I'm so grateful that you said yes to this random girl that I'm like, I have 5 podcast episodes, and I know you've been on the news, but like, will you talk to me anyways?
Of course, love it.
No, we love women. We love supporting other women. We love just meeting people and sharing stories.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right.
Brutiful.
It is brutiful. Thank you. That was perfect. I should end all of my podcasts like that.
Yeah,
like,
love it.
Have a brutiful day. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope that Emily and Lindsay realize that we are going to be friends from here on out. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you're really excited, take it a step further and post a screenshot on your social. Tag me at Jessica M. Brew so I can say thank you personally. As a disclaimer, although I am a licensed professional counselor, this podcast is meant to inspire, and it's not intended to be a replacement for therapy. If you are struggling or having thoughts of hurting yourself, please consult a qualified mental health professional or call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. You matter, and you deserve the help and support. Thank you again for listening. I'm so grateful to be a part of your journey and to have you be a part of mine.